This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 24. That's Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 44. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would not have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
As you surely noticed, several of our songs this morning were songs of praise. And how appropriate is that? Everywhere we look, there are reasons to praise God. His works of creation, the people all around us that love us, that help us, Christ Himself. So many reasons to praise God. And how good it is that we come together like this at His calling, to lift up our hearts together to praise God. What a marvelous, wonderful opportunity this is. We're so glad you're with us today. If you're visiting with us, we're really glad that you've come our way, and we're anxious to meet you. I hope you'll stick around just a minute or two and let us meet you if we haven't already, and if we can help in any way, we'd love to do that. So, tell us what we can do. Come back and be with us anytime you can. We really would be honored by your presence. And all members, good to have you with us today. It's good to be with you today. I am so happy to be back home. It's been the longest trip I've been on for a while, about 17 days, and how good it is to come back to Johnson City and just be with my family here at Central. What Marshall said earlier about being with other congregations that worship the same way as we do, I say amen to that. I experienced that as well. 2 weeks ago today in Cayambe, Ecuador, we worshiped together according to the pattern given in the New Testament. And what a blessing that was. How good it was. Even though it had to be translated for me, I love being with my brethren there. Last week, I was with the Creve Hall Church of Christ in Nashville, and again, what a great church and what good people, and this morning, two of them are with us. I talked the Northcutts into coming up and worshiping with us today. Of course, they're the parents of Wendy Owen that many of us know, and they are in town to see a baseball game their grandson is playing, but always good to see them. And I've met other people I've never met before. I got to meet Tessa Shaw, a newborn daughter of Kelly and John Shaw. How blessed that couple is with this new child. And I want to introduce you to another newborn child, this one an adult newborn child, and that is Kathy Kidwell. About 3 weeks ago, Kathy was baptized into Christ. Kathy, would you mind standing for a minute? I didn't ask you permission beforehand. But this is your newest sister in Christ, and we are so happy that she is now part of our family. Thank you, Kathy. You'll notice there's some others here from the Watauga Square Apartments. Normally, we have men and sometimes women that go to help to conduct worship down there at their apartment building. But on the third Sunday of the month, they come here, several of them. And we're so glad that they are here and so glad for the work that's being done down there. But it's just good to be together. Really good to have you with us. And hope you'll come back and join us again this evening at 6. I plan to present a lesson from God's Word entitled Terms of Release. And we all need to be released. I'm not talking about being released from this sermon right now, but we all need to be released. But what are the terms? Are there terms? And we're going to look together in the Word of God and find out what God has said on that very important subject. And may I make one more plug here for the third annual Mountain Empire Men's Fellowship. That's coming up real quick. on Saturday, August 4th. And all men, young and old, we expect you to be here. It is that important. It is that uplifting. And we want you to plan to be with us beginning at 9 o'clock. That's when the program begins. We're going to have guest speakers from all around the area. Men, come. Let's build ourselves up in the Lord and be able to serve Him more effectively. Let's get our Bibles now. That's why we're here, to hear the Word of God. So open your Bibles with me. I hope you'll be turning to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to spend a lot of time there in the beginning of the lesson. A couple of other places we'll go. Be there as we get ready to get into the Word of God. I found out yesterday while looking on the internet, on the website for East Tennessee State University, that the first official day of classes is August 27th. And that's still, you got some free time still remaining, it sounds like. And then I also found that the week of final exams begins on December 9th. So from August 27th to December 9th, there's a good bit of time there. And a lot can happen in that period of time. If you are a student there, you're going to make new friends, I suspect. You will have some outings with these friends, maybe to go hike to a waterfall or ride the Tweetsie Trail that has become very popular here in town. You'll be doing a lot of things like that. You'll be doing some studying, we hope. You'll be going to football games. A lot of things happen, and those things can often detract us from what is really urgent, important, and that is being ready for those final exams. And so as a student, one of your main objectives is not lose sight of the fact that there is a day coming when I'm going to be held accountable for all this information that I should have learned. But how easy it is to be distracted from that. There was a day many years ago when I was baptized into Christ. And I don't know what the day of Christ's return will be, but it's already been a considerable period of time. And there's been a lot of things happen in my life. I've become married. I have become a father. I've become a grandfather. I do things in my vocation as a minister of the gospel. I involve myself in hiking. I like to take photographs. I pay my bills. I do a lot of things. Life. But sometimes I forget that there is something really important looming in the future. It's called the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're looking at today, because life happens. That's a phrase we hear quite a bit nowadays. Life happens. And that can mean a whole lot of things. And we take care of things as we need to, but may we never forget. May we never be distracted from the importance of this one day. And that's what our focus is this morning. Christ will come again. 2 Peter 3. Let's look there. Now, again, if you're not there, let me talk about something else briefly. I have in my pocket a smartphone. Somebody told me this morning they have just been talked into getting their first smartphone. Good luck. But you know, they're pretty handy sometimes, because I can put on my smartphone reminders, alarms that go off that say, hey, today you need to pay this bill. Today you've got this appointment coming up. You're going to meet with so-and-so. All kinds of reminders, and you know what? I've come to rely on that, because there's so many things in my life I forget if I don't have a reminder. Well, that's exactly what Peter's talking about. Let's look now in 2 Peter chapter 3. He's going to remind us that Christ will come again. 2 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. So immediately, Peter says, I'm not going to apologize for telling you things that you already know. because we all need that reminder. I want to stir up your minds, your sincere minds, because it's easy to forget. And so Peter says, here it is, I'm going to remind you. Now, what is it that he's going to remind us about? He's about to tell us. Look at verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires, they will say, where is the promise of his coming? He's talking about Jesus, of course. The promise that Jesus would come again. Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. And we understand that. There are still scoffers among us today. Scoffers in the world that will say, well, yeah, Jesus appeared on earth, and we don't really know what he was, but he was a man of some significance. But coming again? Are you kidding? I mean, look how long it has been. It's been almost 2,000 years ago, and he's not come yet. He's not going to come again. And that was what Peter was talking about, people that were scoffing at the idea that Jesus would come again. And he says, there are those people. Don't let them lure you into abandoning your hope that Jesus is coming again. He goes on and says in verses 5 through 7, one thing they are forgetting. Listen to what he says there. One thing they forget. He says in verse 5, they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. Now that's the key phrase there, by the word of God. And he's going to repeat that idea three times in this passage. He's talking about how powerful God's word is. And first of all, he says, we see it in the fact that the heavens and the earth were created by the word of God. Isn't that what Genesis 1 tells us? How God repeatedly said, let there be light, let the firmament be separated from the waters. All of that, it was by the word of God. God created things by his word. Then in verse 6, he goes on, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. How did the flood come? It was because of the power of God's word. God said, this is the way it's going to be, and it was. God's word made it happen. And then in verse 7, he says, but by the same word, the word of God, by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. And so once again, he says, that word is what holds it all together. God's word is keeping everything in reserve until the day he decides it's time to end. And then that powerful word of God will make it happen. Now the question is it wise for us to scoff at the powerful word of God? I mean, yeah, it has been 2,000 years. And you would think that God, Jesus, would have come again within 100 years, 500 years, 1,000 years. But now it's been 2,000 years, and it may be 10,000. But that's the next point. Because in verses 8 and 9, he says, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Time means nothing to God. He's eternal. And he says in verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. In other words, we should thank God. If we are not ready yet to meet his son when he comes again, we should thank God that he's not come yet, because that patience means our salvation, or at least our opportunity for salvation. And so he says, don't look at it the way people look at it, because God doesn't look at time the way we do. In verse 10, here is a key idea, and we're going to see it again in a couple of other passages, so don't miss it. He said, the day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. In other words, the day of judgment, the return of Christ, all of that is going to come like a thief. Now, what does that mean? The day of the Lord will come like a thief. What does that mean? Well, think about it. As some of you have had a thief pay a visit to your home, I suspect. Did they announce in advance that they were coming? Did they send you a card that says, sometime in the month of August, I'm going to be coming to your house? I doubt it. If they had, you would have had the police present. You would have had all kinds of security measures in place. You would have said, they are not getting in my house because I know they're coming. Thieves do not announce their return. They're coming. And neither will Christ. Christ said, I will come. I will come like a thief. And then look at all that will happen. And notice, this is the end of the material realm. All of the works, all of these things will be burned up and dissolved. I came across a story a couple of weeks ago. If you received my email devotional on Lightgrams, you read about it. It's about a nation called Asgardia. Now, you may be thinking, Asgardia? I've never heard of that nation. Well, it's not a nation you can find on a map. It's a nation that has been created of people that will one day leave this earth and colonize the moon. I'm talking about a serious measure, folks. There's about 200,000 that have already signed on from all over the world, and they're intending to get millions of people on board, and their idea is we're going to leave this planet, we're going to make our home where it is much more secure, much more peaceful. But will that help them when the Lord comes again? Is that going to help them avoid the consequences of sin? Even though they're not on this earth, this passage tells us all the material realm will be dissolved. That's going to happen when the Lord comes again. But let's read on in verses 11 through 13, because this is the so what part of this lesson. I mean, it's good to talk about Jesus coming again, but so what? Peter tells us right here. Look at what he says in verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting. We are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's the so what. The so what is that, yes, Jesus is coming again, and that ought to affect the way we're living right now. I mean, right now. We don't know when he's coming. If we did, we could say, well, you know, I'm going to put off my changed life until about a year before he comes, then I'll really get serious. And I know there are people that do that now. They think, I'm a young person. There's really no rush. When I get older, I'll really get things together. I'll get serious about living the Christian life. Well, mortality is very unpredictable. Have you noticed that? But on top of that, there's the coming of the day of the Lord like a thief. He may come before we finish this lesson. He might not, but he will come again. And Peter says, what sort of persons ought you to be? I mean, if I know that Jesus is coming again, I will stand before him in the day of judgment. That should change the way I live. Let's ask the question. Did Peter know what he was talking about? Did Peter know what he was talking about? I mean, that's pretty out there stuff, according to the world today, to talk about Jesus coming back, you know, and the earth being burned up and all the material elements dissolved. That's pretty out there stuff. Did Peter know what he was talking about? Let me take you to 1 Thessalonians now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and you'll see that Paul talks about the same ideas. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's begin in verse 14. Listen to what Paul says there. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 14, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Now, I want you to think about what that means. Most of us in here today, I hope all of us, believe that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose again the third day. There's plenty of evidence for that. If you'd like to talk more about that, I'll be glad to talk with you about it. But he said, that's true. Now, the second coming of Christ is just as true as those facts. And here we are. We have set our lives on the fact that Jesus died, that he rose again. So we also need to mold our lives around this doctrine that Jesus is coming again. That's what he says. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. And then he goes on and talks about what will happen on that day. Look at verse 15. This we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Now notice, Paul talks about what happens to Christians at the coming of the Lord. All the people of faith before Christ, those people who lived in accordance with the will of God, whatever it was at that time. And he says, we are going to have a wonderful existence. We're going to be raised from the dead. We're going to enjoy being with the Lord forevermore. And no wonder he says in verse 18, therefore encourage one another with these words. Peter's words were not as encouraging. Talking about the earth burning up, the material realm dissolving. But this tells us that we who live by faith, submitting to the faith, to the will of God, we are going to have a wonderful existence, and we can be encouraged by that. Then read on in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, we have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. There's that image again. Peter used it, so does Paul. And the idea again is the same. We don't know when it's going to happen. It's best that we be prepared at all times. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. They're going to be caught up in it, even though they may say, I'm not ready, Lord. Please, I'm not ready. I'm sorry. You've had all this time to get ready. What did you do with that time? Why did you miss those opportunities? It's coming. And then he says in verses 4 through 6, you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. You are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. You understand what he means by that? Keep awake and be sober. That means that we're not going to get drunk on the world. We're not going to allow life happens to detract us from doing what is most important in this life. Let us keep awake and be sober. Peter and Paul are two of the great men of the New Testament, two of the great apostles, but you know what? They rarely collaborated. Usually one was going in this direction, the other went that direction. Peter was the apostle primarily to the Jews, Paul primarily to the Gentiles. But did you notice how similar their message is when it comes to the second coming of Christ? It's because the Holy Spirit revealed it to both of them. But now the really big question. I mean, we've seen what Peter says, we've seen what Paul says. What about Jesus? Is this really what Jesus taught about him coming again? I mean, it's possible that we might have misunderstood him. Maybe he was misrepresented. Maybe this wasn't in his mind at all. But if you were listening to Matthew 24 earlier, you heard Jesus say it himself. Let's look at it again. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 42, here's what Jesus says. Therefore, stay awake. Good advice for a sermon, right? But it's good advice for life. That's what he's talking about. Therefore, stay awake. You do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, here's the lesson. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Oh Lord, if you'll just tell us when you're coming, we'll be ready. We do that with our teachers in school, don't we? Teacher, how long are you going to be out of the classroom? Oh, they're not going to tell us that, because we would be wild until the moment before they come back. And Jesus says, be ready. You don't know when I'm coming back. Be ready always. This idea is repeated in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. Revelation 3 and verse 3, Jesus was dictating a letter to the church at Sardis. The church at Sardis had a great reputation, but Jesus said, I know you're really dead. You're dead. And then he said this. In Revelation 3, verse 3, remember then what you received and heard, keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief. I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. You see, this idea is found over and over again. Jesus said, I am coming again. And no, you don't know when it will happen. It will be like a thief in the night, but be ready. Be ready always. Dwayne Warden has written a commentary on 2 Peter as well as 1 Peter and Jude. Let me read you just a couple of comments that he made on this passage. He said, the appearance of Jesus as Lord and Judge will be sudden. There will be no advance warning of a specific hour and day. As a thief gives no advance notice of the time he plans to break in, Jesus gives none. The only protection against a thief is to be ready at all times. God's people need to so live that they are ready for the Lord whenever he chooses to return. We're here on this earth for a reason. And it's not to have the most fun. It's not to collect the most toys more than anybody else. Those are not the reasons that we're here on this earth. We're here to serve and to glorify God. How are we using those moments, those opportunities? Are we ready for the Lord? Why do teachers schedule tests? Isn't it a way to keep us serious as students? To help us understand, these are things we need to know, and you're going to be tested on them, so it's in your best interest to study and be prepared. It is a way to keep us serious. And the Lord said, I am coming again. You don't know when, but I am coming again. And it's a way of seeing, are we serious? And here's a test, a simple test that any of us can do right now. When was the last time we thought about Jesus coming again. I mean, seriously, I know you could say, well, 5 minutes ago, you were talking about it then, before the sermon began. When was the last time, seriously, that we gave this subject some meditation? And let me read the next to the last verse in the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 20. And here's one more challenge. Can we say this? Can we honestly say what John says in response to the Lord? He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Can we say that? Or in our heart of hearts, if Jesus said, I'm about ready to come, would we say, could you give me just a little more time? I'm not ready, Lord. If this invitation song begins, it is God saying, okay, here's your time. If you're not a child of God, obey the gospel. You believe Jesus is God's Son? Are you ready to turn away from sin? I mean, really repent that you are living that lifestyle? Are you ready to confess His name before this group this morning and then be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Simple things to do. God will give you this opportunity if the invitation song begins. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful? Or do you need to make amends to God? Do you need to say, Lord, I have sinned. I want to do better. I want to repent and ask for forgiveness. We'll help you if we have that opportunity as we stand and sing.